And today, Mike Lewin's going to be bringing the message about exactly that. Now, Mike and his team have been faithful from the very beginning. They've been leading New Hope Leeward. It's wonderful to have one church in many locations. And we've been so excited about what God's doing at Leeward. Mike has been a faithful leader, and I've watched him grow. Well, today is his debut, his first time speaking at Farrington, and he's a little nervous. So you're going to have to really, really help him. When he comes out, you got to really clap, because otherwise, he'll get so afraid, his self-esteem will drop, his hair will grow even more, and then he'll leave. So you got to let him know that you love him. Let him know he's okay, even though he's got funny hair. Would you welcome with me Mike Lewin as he speaks? Yeah!
I tell you, that Pastor Wayne, all the way in Oregon, still makes fun of my hair. But at least I'm not losing my hair. Don't tell him I said that. I brought a couple of friends with me today, and this is Lisa Kaneshiro. She's our potter today. She's, just to make it straight, she's not doing pot, she's our potter. And this is Mary Abing. She's a wonderful painter, and she's going to be with us today. And they're just going to do their thing, and we'll just see what they come up with in a little while. In just a moment, the ushers are going to pass out some little things for you. It's going to be a Ziploc bag with a small piece of clay in it. Just hold on to it and don't open it up. And if your neighbor opens it up, just slap them. So the ushers will be passing that out in just a moment. But I love telling the story of a time when I was coming back from California back here to Hawaii. And it was a time when I was flying on Hawaiian Airlines and got a chance to get on the airplane and settle in. And if you've traveled from the mainland to Hawaii, you know that it's about a 5.5 hour flight. So I'd settled in my seat. I was all ready to relax for 5.5 hours. And the captain comes on and he says, "Well, good morning. Welcome to Hawaiian Airlines. My name's Captain Kirk." I can't remember his names, but something like that. And he says, "Well, we've got a small problem. Our fuel door won't close, and so therefore we can't seem to hold fuel. So we're going to take a vote. How many of you want us to fix the fuel door?" And I'm thinking, when did fuel become a majority vote option? So he says, "It'll just take a few minutes, and we'll be on our way." Now, how many of you know when they say a few minutes, it ain't going to be a few minutes? So about an hour later, he comes back on. This is Captain Kirk, Hawaiian Airlines. "We've run into additional problems, and so we're going to let you stretch your legs out in the terminal." And you wonder why they call it the terminal. It could be because you never take off. So they get us all into the terminal. We sit down and we wait for a while. An hour goes by. Another hour goes by. I've done everything that I have with me. I've done my devotions for a month. I've read all my books. I've even clipped my toenails. I've started to file my nails. I've done everything I can. Another hour goes by. And I start reading some of the magazines inside of the lounge. Started reading Sports Illustrated, started reading 17 magazine, Bop magazine. I mean, I know more about the NSYNC guys than I care to know about. But finally, they call us back on the airplane and they're ready to take off. And so we do get to take off. The fuel door was fixed. We start flying. And the flight, for the most part, is great. Up until the fact that the person next to me has a screaming child and decides to change their diaper midway through the flight. I know, ew. I'm with you on that one. So I make it through that toxic, traumatic experience, and then we keep flying. And there comes to the part in the flight, and if you've flown from the mainland, you know there comes a point in the flight where the flight attendant comes on and says, "Well, we have begun our initial descent into Honolulu International Airport. And at this time, if you'd return your tray tables and your seat back to their full upright position, restore any items in the overhead bin or the seat in front of you, and discontinue the use of Pakalolo." And they said, "In just a few moments, we'll be arriving at Honolulu International Airport." And then they tell you that if you take a look out the left side of the aircraft, you'll see the big island of Hawaii. And when I take a look outside of those windows, I just get the sense of excitement. Do you ever get that? When you start seeing the islands emerge after all that beautiful blue ocean. And then the flight path of Hawaiian takes us in the windward side of Oahu. And so we fly over Kaneohe Bay. We see the Ko'olau Mountains. And it flies right over my house. So I'm all excited. I tell everyone on the aircraft, "Hey, that's my house. That's my house." And they're like, "Shut up." And then we round and we see the crater of Diamond Head, and then we see the beautiful bluish-green waters of the Alawai Canal as we start coming down into Honolulu International Airport. And once we land, the flight attendant comes on and she says, "If Honolulu is your final destination, we want to welcome you home." And you know, every time I fly, they say that, and I keep thinking of the time, one day in our lives, when we're going to arrive at the gates of heaven, our final destination. And we're going to hear the Lord say to us, and it's in the top of your notes, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate. Welcome home." And what an exciting day that is going to be. But between today and that day when we hit that final destination, we have an opportunity to live our lives in such a way that we can make a kingdom impact. How many of you would like to make a kingdom impact with your lives? Yes? The rest of you are just hungry. You're ready to go already? But as Pastor Wayne says, a healthy church is not by the size of a building. It's not by the number of people that come to the church. It's not by the great programs that we have. But a healthy church is best measured by how many lives in the church are living lives that make a kingdom impact. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, and it's in your notes. We're going to talk about how we can make a kingdom impact with our lives. And there's a scripture we're going to study today. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And we're just going to hang on that scripture for a little while. And it's in your notes, so let's read that together. Are you ready? Here we go. "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so as we discuss how we can live lives that make a kingdom difference, we can take a look at this scripture. And the very first part of that tells us that we are God's workmanship. And so if you're filling in your notes, fill in the first point, that you were designed by the Master. You were indeed designed by the Master, and you are God's workmanship. Job in the Old Testament tells us, also in your notes, "Your hands shaped me and made me." What Job recognized and what every single one of us must recognize is the fact that God has individually, uniquely created us. There's nobody else like us. In fact, when he created us, he threw away the mold. And we are so handcrafted that nobody else has the same talents, the same gifts, the same way that they talk, the same smells, the same way they do their hair. Everything about you is 100% unique. And that's what makes you, you. Now, what's really amazing about God is that not only does he design us and create us at the very beginning, at our birth, but he continues to do that over time, doesn't he? That he continues to shape us, and he continues to mold us. Like a potter with clay, it takes a good deal of time for a potter to take clay and to shape the clay into what the potter imagines in their mind's eye. But you know the cool thing with God? It takes God a lifetime to shape and to mold us and to create us into the person that he has imagined in his mind's eye. But as we take a look at God creating us and molding us each and every single day, sometimes we've got to, in our lives, you can fill this in, slow down our lives and be available to the Lord, our master potter, so that he can daily shape us and create us and mold us. Sometimes in our busy lives, we've got to allow the Lord to just slowly shape us a little bit more, mold us just a little bit more. But we've got to slow down because our lives are so busy, aren't they? There was a time when we did the Doing Church as a Team conference, and we were down at the Sheraton Waikiki Hotel. And just before one of the main sessions, we got a call down at the conference information desk. It's from a Portuguese guy, and he calls down, and he says, "I need help getting out of my room. I'm stuck." We're thinking, "You're stuck in your hotel room." He says, "I'm stuck. One door gets me into the bathroom, the other door takes me into the closet, and then the last door takes me out onto the lanai, and I'm not going to jump from the 17th floor." And we're thinking, "Wow, you need help." And we're like, "Well, you know, there's probably one more door, the door that you came in on. Try that door. That'll probably be a pretty good option for you." Well, he says, "Well, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work because you see that door, there's on the doorknob, there's a little postcard that says, 'Do not disturb' on it." Well, you'll be happy to know I had to go up and get Pastor Wayne out of his room, and he was on time for his session. But sometimes we all have to slow down, don't we? We got to slow down in our lives to observe what's going on around us. And sometimes we've got to slow down in our lives in order for the Lord to shape us and create us into what he designed us to be. The psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." For some of us, we simply just need to slow down and let the creator of life shape us and mold us instead of the chaos in life. Because sometimes we can be molded by just the fury and the busyness of our lives, and we don't slow down to let the Lord, the creator of life, shape and mold us. So how do we do that? Well, we can slow down in our daily devotions, we can slow down in prayer, and we can slow down by joining a life group that we can, each and every single day, allow the Lord to mold us and to shape us. As a potter shapes clay, so the Lord shapes us each and every single day. Now, for some of us, that's what we need to do, isn't it? We got to slow down our lives just a little bit. But there's others of us who we've been so busy pursuing our own plan in life that maybe what we need to do, and you can fill this in, is to return to the potter's wheel, or return our lives to the potter's wheel. There was a couple years ago that I was in Japan with Pastor Wayne and Dan Shima, and there was one morning we were walking around in this open marketplace. And if you've ever been to Japan, they've got all these great open markets that you can shop in. And one morning, it was early morning, we had some time, we were shopping around, and I was getting fascinated by all the stuff in Japan. They've got, I mean, the country's just totally populated, but yet they've got these small little soda cans, they've got small little cars, but yet I found this piece of gum, and check out the size of their gum. Isn't that amazing? It's called Big Gum. You know, in case you didn't know what it was, they just called it Big Gum. And so I was fascinated by some of the stuff that they had, and I was wandering around, and I came across a stand, and they said, "Ohayou gozaimasu." And I nodded, and I bowed my head, and then they said, "Free sample." And Pastor Owen taught me well, never pass on free samples. And so I took a sample, and I took a bite out of it, and as soon as I put that in my mouth, it was the most disgusting thing I had ever tasted. But I didn't want to be rude, and so I just kept eating it and smiling, and they're like, "Oishi?" I'm like, "No." And I said, "What is this?" And they said, "Natto." I'm like, "Oh, it's not too good." And so I chewed it down as fast as I could, grabbed the first can I saw on the counter, and then just drank it as fast as I could to just wash away that terrible taste. And then I thought, this tastes a lot like beer. And then I looked at the can, and it said Asahi on the side. And I was like, "Beer?" And they're like, "Ah, so beer." I was like, "Oh, it's 8 a.m, I'm drinking a beer, Pastor Wayne's around here somewhere, I'm gonna be so fired in about 5 minutes. So I stuffed about 10 pieces of those huge big gum in my mouth, tried to pretend that I wasn't drinking at 8 a.m, and I started looking for Uncle Dan and Pastor Wayne, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And so like a grown man, I sat down on the sidewalk and started to cry. But with every step in which I was looking for these cool things, or I was observing the exotic foods that they had, I got farther and farther away from where Pastor Wayne and Uncle Dan were. And you know, many of our lives are like that too. We take a step each day and we start getting just observing all the wonderful things in our lives. We start looking at the things that are around us. We start looking at the shine of some of our cars, or the glamour of some of the job positions. And then slowly we start focusing on those things and we start wandering farther and farther away from where God designed us to be. We start wandering farther and farther away from the potter's wheel, the master potter, our Lord. And so for some of us, we just need to come back in our lives to the potter's wheel. Now, some of you may be here today, and you may be thinking, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in church. And you know what? There's so much stuff in my life that I am so far away from the Lord, so far away from the potter's wheel. There's no hope for me. Well, you know, the good news is that there is hope. And if you would simply decide today in your heart to put your life back onto the potter's wheel, God will take you and shape you and mold you and allow you to see his amazing plan for your life. Well, as we're taking a look at returning our lives to the potter's wheel, there is an amazing poem that I found, and I'll read it to you. It's not in your notes, but it's a poem that has to do with staying close to the potter. And here it is. It's called From God's Hands. It goes like this. It is not you who shapes God. It is God who shapes you. As the work of God, await the hand of the artist, who does all things in perfect timing. Offer the potter your heart, soft and workable, and keep the form that the artist shapes in you. Let your clay be flexible so you don't grow hardened and lose the impression of the potter's hand. You know, the secret of making a kingdom difference is keeping your life really close to the master potter. And when those times in life in which we're going to stray away, God prompts us back through daily devotions and through those around us. And he places us back on the potter's wheel. And what the Lord does is he shapes us and molds us and guides us. And that's the first step in allowing us to make a kingdom impact with our lives. Well, not only are we God's workmanship, is what Paul says in Ephesians, but we're also created to do good works. And so if you're taking notes, write the second point in. You have been created for a contribution. You have been created for a contribution. Let's read Jeremiah 1:5 together in your notes. It's at the top of your, or middle part of your notes. Are you ready? Here we go. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. Now the fact is that you've been placed on this earth for a special assignment. Now, if God just wanted us to become Christians, the minute we became Christians, he would have taken us up into heaven, right? I mean, there's a party going on in heaven. There's a luau in our name. I mean, God's taking the pig out of the emu. I mean, it's great celebration going on. But yet God leaves us here for a reason. He leaves us here because of the fact that there's a special assignment in which we are supposed to be a part of. He leaves us here because there's a contribution that we're supposed to make. And, you know, someone said it this way, it's not the duration of your life that counts, it's the donation of your life that makes a kingdom difference. Isn't that true? It's a donation, it's the contribution, it's what we add to life that really makes a kingdom difference. But, you know, it's interesting, as much as we talk about it here at New Hope, as much as Pastor Wayne shares about it, as much as we see videos about it, as much as we share the heart behind serving at New Hope, there's still many of us that think, you know, maybe that's not for me. And there's a gem that's written in your notes, and you can write this in. There is, as I've discovered in talking to people about making a contribution through serving, a gap between knowing and experiencing. There's often a gap between knowing and experiencing. Because you see, you can know that you can make a kingdom contribution with your life. You can know that you are created unique. You can know that there is an assignment on your life. But unless you experience the amazing joy of serving, you will never understand how incredible it is. How many of you recognize this package? Any of you recognize this package? Yeah, he's got it. He's got it right here in the front row. I think in the heavenly kingdom, there's four amazing words. In the heavenly kingdom, the four most amazing words is Jesus is my Lord. I think those are four of the most incredible words. In the earthly kingdom, I think four of the most incredible words is Ted's chocolate halpia pie. Pretty convinced that this is what it is. But you know, with this pie, how many of you have had Ted's chocolate halpia pie before? Yeah, right on, right on. How many of you have never had Ted's chocolate? Look around, isn't that amazing? Wow. Ted's chocolate halpia pie is absolutely incredible. But you see, people can tell you all about this amazing pie. They can describe to you just how incredible it is, and you can look at it and you think, wow, it's pretty cool. And people can tell you, so that way you would know. I don't know if you can see this, but people can tell you that there is a rich layer of whipped cream on the top. And they can tell you that there is an amazing layer of halpia underneath that whipped cream. And they can tell you that also there is a luscious, rich chocolate filling in the middle over a fluffy crust. Now they can tell you about that, and you can know about it, but if you don't experience it, you will never know how incredible this is. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And the same way with us. And so, you've got to experience Ted's chocolate halpia pie to know how incredible Ted's chocolate halpia pie is. Same thing with us in serving, isn't it? Same thing it is with our lives with Christ, is we can know what God wants of our lives. We can hear all the messages in the world. We can see videos about it. But until we do that which God has asked us to do, we would only just know. We'd not experience it. And so I'm just going to try it one more time. Who in the front here never tried before? Never tried before. All right. There you are, Jay. Is that your wife next to you?
No.
So what do you think? Is it going to be good? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So you can go ahead and sit down and share with all of us. We're praying that God will multiply that for 5,000. But isn't that true? That there is so much that we can know about serving. There's so much that we can know about the faith. But until we jump in, until we experience the joy of making a difference with our lives, we will not know how incredible that is. But you know what's interesting? Is that there's so many people, and maybe you're sitting here today, and you're thinking, yeah, but Mike, you don't know what factors are in my life, what reasons are in my life that don't allow me to contribute in such a way to make a significant kingdom contribution. Yeah, you can talk about it. Yeah, we hear about it. But yeah, there's a series about every place or a place for every person. But there's just factors in my life. There's barriers in my life that are limiting me from contributing in a meaningful way to make a difference in this world. Let's take a look at this video of a few people's perspective on barriers that they've encountered on making a difference and contributing in a significant way. Let's take a look.
One of the things that stopped me from serving was issues like being too busy.
Yeah, I was afraid because I thought I didn't fit.
Maybe if they haven't been out in a workplace for a while.
They think they're too young.
They think they're not good enough.
Maybe because they're like scared and they might mess up and then people might get mad at them.
If they're shy.
They're afraid to commit themselves.
Not having enough time.
Fear of meeting people. They have other priorities.
Also, sometimes you think that the church is too big and there's always going to be somebody else to fill that gap.
Those were their reasons why sometimes we're limited from contributing to the kingdom in a significant way. Now, all of you have been given a Ziploc bag with a piece of clay in it. Go ahead and pull those out. You also have a wet nap so you can clean your hands afterwards. But what we're going to do in just a few moments is we're going to shape something that represents the limiting factor or the reason or the barrier in your life that is limiting you from making a kingdom contribution. Because remember, we're God's workmanship. He's designed us to have significance, and He's left us here as Christians to make an impact in the world around us. But for many of us, there are factors, aren't there? There's reasons that are limiting us from really giving everything we have and making a contribution. For me, it's the fact that I'm oftentimes way too busy. And so I took my clay and molding it into four round balls to represent the fact that I'm juggling balls all the time, and sometimes in the midst of trying to juggle so many priorities, sometimes I miss hearing God's voice, and sometimes I miss keeping my heart on the potter's wheel on what I need to do to make a kingdom difference. What is it for you? Are you too busy? Maybe take your clay and shape it into a watch. Is it maybe lack of a self-confidence and you don't think that God has an amazing, amazing opportunity for you to contribute? Then maybe shape a box that you're boxed in on. Or maybe you're just uncertain about what the future holds. Shape for yourself maybe a question mark. It's not a contest, so you don't have to try to be Michelangelo. It's not a race, and there's no prizes. But this is just a time for you and God to just examine your own heart. What is it in your life that maybe is limiting you from making a kingdom contribution? Because the potter wants to speak to you today on what it is that will allow you to make a kingdom contribution. Go ahead and take a few moments and go ahead and shape something that represents that barrier or that reason that might be holding you back. Go ahead and take a few moments.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in. perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life.
What do you want to do through the crying out to the Lord?
How are you doing with your clay objects? You having fun? If you take a look around, everybody hold up your clay objects for just a moment. Some of you are confused. Take a look around at some of the objects that are around you, in your row or the row behind you or the row in front of you. Some of you are amazing artists, and some of you need to stick with your day jobs. But if you take a look around, what we see is that every single one of us, we all have reasons, don't we? We all have factors, limiting factors in our lives that may hold us back from really achieving that which God has designed us to achieve. So for some of you, it may be you're too busy. For some of us, it may be because we're not qualified. And if you take a look around, we all can relate. We all have a reason. Now, on the one hand, we can say, well, we have lots of reasons. We're too busy, we're not qualified, we don't have enough time, we may be too young, maybe too old. We have lots of different reasons. Well, to that, there's this Greek profound, deep word called baloney. The fact is that every single one of us, in our own unique ways, God has designed us. And even the circumstances in our lives, God has given us an opportunity to push through those, because those are those times in which he's developing our character and preparing us for what is ahead. Go ahead and hold up what your clay object is for just a moment. And we're going to pray for whatever that object is just right now, just a short prayer. And we're going to pray that the master potter will take these clay objects, take these barriers, take these reasons that may be holding us back from really doing that which God has called us to do, and that he would help to mold and shape them in such a way that we can make a kingdom difference. Sound okay? Just hold them up for just a moment and let's pray for these things. Heavenly Father, in every single one of our hands, Lord, we have shaped, molded something on our own. And Lord, these represent different barriers, reasons, factors that have limited us, now and maybe even in the past, and maybe even in the future, from doing that which would make a kingdom difference. And so, God, we pray that you would take these and that you would mold us, that you would help to shape us, that these would no longer be limiting factors, but, Lord, these would be propelling factors that would cause us instead to reach towards that which you have called us, created us to contribute. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. With all of these factors and all these barriers, the greatest thing that we can do with these is to give them to the master potter. And so in just a moment, as a symbol of our surrendering these barriers and factors that may be holding us back from that which God is calling us to become, the ushers are going to come around. They're going to give you an opportunity to place these inside the bucket. And just as a symbol of us surrendering them to the Lord, go ahead and place those in the buckets, and then they're going to place it here at the potter's wheel as really a symbol for us that we are surrendering to the Lord all that may be holding us back from truly making a kingdom difference. So ushers, go ahead. Now as those ushers collect those, start to sense already for yourself that God is taking those things from you, and he's giving you an opportunity to release those into his care, to release those in such a way that he will shape and that he will mold. I like what Ecclesiastes says. It says that if we're waiting for a perfect time to make a contribution, nothing will ever get done. And really, that's true of us, isn't it? If we wait for the perfect time, when we're qualified, when we have the time, then we will never be able to accomplish that which the master potter has designed us to accomplish. Well, let's go on to the third point as we talk about making a kingdom difference. We've talked about how we are God's workmanship, that we've been designed by the master. We've talked about how we have been created for a contribution. And finally, as we take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you can write this in your notes, that you are God's masterpiece, and it's time to take action. It's time to take action. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are God's masterpiece. You are indeed. Some of you are telling too much to your neighbor. But indeed, isn't that true? We are all God's masterpiece. And that even though there are challenges and circumstances and factors that may limit us from doing what God has asked us to do, nevertheless, we are God's masterpiece. And it's time for us to take action. And at birth, we were all given by our lives a blank canvas in which the Lord is to tell the story of our lives on. And every single one of us are indeed a masterpiece. Every one of us is a unique creation. And every single one of us is someone that God wants to develop into the full potential. In fact, someone said it this way. It says that becoming a Christian isn't just knowing Christ, but it's discovering your potential in Christ. And really, for every single one of us, we've been given a blank canvas in life. And for every single one of us, the Lord is designing and he is painting a masterpiece through our lives. And if we are to make a kingdom difference in our lives, for many of us, it's time to take action. It's time for us to truly surrender those things that are limiting us and hand them to the master potter. And then it's time for us to focus in on that which God has called us to do. Because you see, sometimes serving and contributing in a significant way isn't so much the fact that the church needs you or that other people need you, but it really could be that God needs you and he needs to shape and to mold some things in you. And so sometimes serving will make a difference in someone else's life, and sometimes serving will make a difference in our lives. Let's take a look at this video of some people who have been changed, some people who through serving and contributing have discovered what truly making a difference is all about. Let's take a look at this video.
Why I serve is because it's a way of giving back.
I can't even say the words to cover what he does for me, just from my serving.
The spiritual side, as far as growth goes, it runs far deeper than just, you know, going into service and listening to the sermons.
Since I have started serving, I feel like I've grown so much in the Lord.
You learn a lot, not only through the ministry that you serve in, but through the friends that you meet.
Serving is definitely, you know, works hand in hand in growth.
while you're growing up in the local culture, and probably everywhere, it's like first thing you learn when you grow up, your parents tell you, what, you know, when someone gives you something, what do you tell them? Thank you. Yeah. What do you tell that person? Thank you. So you're always told to thank somebody. And then if someone gives you something in the container, when you return it, usually you want to give them something back. Yeah. So it's always have that heart of gratitude. And so, okay, if the Lord can give me eternal salvation, you know, how can I thank Him? You know, I mean, that's the first thing you want to think, how can I thank Him? And if I can serve, I think that's, you know, that's what He'd want me to do. And so where can I serve? Well, I can't sing or things like that. But, you know, if He sees you just picking up rubbish or coiling a rope, you know, that makes Him smile. Yeah, so I'm thinking, oh, you know, I can make the Creator of heaven and earth smile. You know, how much more? I mean, that's all He wants you to do, just do something, yeah.
Truly, there is a place for every person to serve in a significant way. In your notes, under the third point, there's Mark, a verse in Mark, and let's read that together. Are you ready? Here we go. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that is so true, that even the Son of Man came to serve. And He's the greatest model that we have of someone who made a kingdom difference. Mary's caught the heart of that here in this picture. And what she has portrayed to us is truly Christ's heart, and that indeed Christ has come to serve us, and He serves us by shaping us and molding us each and every single day, creates us to become the masterpiece that He has designed us to become. But then in turn, there are so many others in which we are to serve. The empty slipper represents those around us, opportunities around us that God's waiting for us to make a kingdom difference. Because you see, every single one of us is a masterpiece. Every single one of us is a beautiful picture waiting to be drawn through our lives. For me, it was my senior year in college that I had an opportunity to hear about the Lord, and it was my senior year in college that I got a chance to accept Christ into my heart and to understand that I was designed by someone greater. But it took me about 5 years until I came to New Hope in 1998 that I got to truly understand what it meant to put my life at the potter's wheel and to truly understand that there was a contribution that I was supposed to make. Now, at the time, I had finished my MBA degree and I was excited about life and I loved money, I loved fast cars, I liked big houses with swimming pools and jet skis that go way too fast. And that was the life that I had enjoyed. And I'd served here at New Hope. I had gotten involved in the college ministry at the time called The Bridge. And then I signed up to serve on the DCAT conference team. And before I even got a chance to go to a DCAT conference, I got a call that said, well, the conference organizer has moved, and so we need you to lead the conference. And I'm like, well, that's odd. I don't even know what DCAT stands for, and they want me to lead the conference. But what was amazing was during that season, God was able to reveal to me what making a contribution was all about. He started to shape my heart through my daily devotions at the time to start informing me that maybe there was something more significant to chase after than finances and success. But maybe there's a life of significance in another way that I was supposed to focus on. Well, there was one morning that I got a call from Pastor Wayne's assistant, Don, and she gave me a call and said, Pastor Wayne wants to meet with you at Starbucks and talk. And so I thought, wow, I've never really had a full conversation with Pastor Wayne. I don't think he knows my last name. He's just a kid with funky hair, and he wants to have coffee with me. And I'm thinking, well, I'm a volunteer, so you can't fire a volunteer, right? So, isn't that right? I think it's right. And so it was 6:30 in the morning. Pastor Wayne's got this thing for these ungodly hours in the morning. And so 6:30 in the morning, we met at Kahala Mall Starbucks. And we sat in one of the tables, those hard wooden tables, and the fountain's going. And he sat down, and we started talking. And he started saying, you know, Mike, I think you should start praying about full-time ministry. And I'm thinking, praying about full-time ministry? Aren't we all full-time ministers? He's like, well, you know, pray about actually leaving your executive-level, high-paying job that's getting you all these great toys, and come into ministry. And then he told me the salary, and I laughed out loud, I'm pretty sure at that point. And then I realized he was serious, and I was like, wow, oh no, that's generous, that. Wow, that's good. And I thought, wow, I've got, you know, an MBA degree and I'm making all this money, and then now he wants me to consider going into ministry and work for slave wages. And I thought, right, sure. So I said, yeah, I'll pray about that, Pastor Wayne. But just before we left, he said, but if you're supposed to go into full-time ministry, it's going to bother you until you say yes. So I called my mom and I said, hey, I'm thinking about full-time ministry. She's like, oh, that's cool, because you only have to work one day a week, right, on Sundays. <It's> like, well, and so for 6 months, I battled with the Lord. I battled with my checkbook. I battled with down payment on a house. I battled with all kinds of factors that I was fighting on, because I knew God had created me. And because I had kept my life on the potter's wheel and was doing daily devotions, unfortunately, I could sense that God was telling me that I was supposed to leave the life of success and start trading that for a life of significance. And I learned that I'm a big sap sometimes, but in the midst of that whole process in those 6 months, God started to reveal to me the contribution that I could possibly make. And he started to reveal to me that really there is a masterpiece that he wants to create with my life. And if I don't do that which God is prompting in my heart to do, I will never become all that God has created me to be and all that he's designed me to be. And so on January 1st, 2003, no, that was just this year, 2000, January 1st, wow, it's gone fast. January 1st, 2000, the same day Pastor Owen Ahu started, we started together. I went into full-time ministry, slave wages, and in the last 3.5 years, it has been the most amazing adventure I've ever been on. It's been the most amazing adventure to sense that God could take a punk kid like me with crazy hair, the wrong priorities in life, and objectives of my own, and to allow me to discover that God truly does love each and every single one of us so much that he would create us, create me, in such a way that I can make a difference in this world. And I knew a lot about church, but I never experienced what it really meant until I really gave my whole heart into it all. And sometimes I think many of us in this room, we think the same thing. We think, you know, we're just one person. We're not that significant. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, they'll find someone else. I can still make my 100 grand and they'll find someone else to do that job. But you know what? Each and every single one of us is significant. We're significant in such a way that we can go on without us, but we can't go on in such a way that we can truly reach our full potential. Because you see, what happens is that when we hold back our part, then what we start to do is that we start eliminating the full potential of what we could possibly become and what the church could become. So yeah, are we significant enough that we would make a huge difference? Yeah, we are. But are we so significant that the church could not go on without us? Well, the truth is yeah, the church probably can go on without every single one of us. Me, and even if Pastor Elwin doesn't want to admit it, even him too. But the fact is, if every single one of us doesn't reach that full potential and do that which God has created us to do, then the dream of that which we as a church, we as individual people can possibly be, will be less than the full potential. Isn't that true? Yeah, we can probably remold the pot and probably still form something, but it'll be less than what the potter had envisioned. And yeah, in the church, we could probably rebuild the church. We can probably rebuild the ministries around us, and we'd probably still be fine. But the fact is that we would still be less as a church without every single one of us contributing that which God has called us to contribute. And imagine a church if every single one of us was to reach deep down inside of us and reach for that potential that God has placed inside of us. If every single one of us recognized that we were God's masterpiece, and if every single one of us realized that God wants to draw an amazing picture with our lives, imagine what kind of church that could be. I think it can be a church that could change the world. I think it can be a church that can impact those around us in a powerful way. And I think that's the kind of church God wants us to be. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. And we're going to hear a song, and then we're going to conclude. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you so much that, Lord, you created every single one of us to make a kingdom contribution. And that, Lord, thank you for what Paul wrote in Ephesians, that we are truly your workmanship. That, Lord, you created us for a contribution, that, Lord, you want us to take action, not just know about what the potential could be, but to take action to make something happen. And God, we understand that if we don't, that we could be less, that the church could be less, that we as individuals can be less. And as a result, Lord, then maybe you aren't as glorified as you possibly can be. And so, God, we want to be the kind of church that every single one of us has a place in which we find a significant contribution and where we truly can make a kingdom difference. Lord, truly, that's our heart. That's our prayer. That's the kind of church that we want to be. Amen.